morning, message of hope. Good morning. Listen, it's a blessing and a privilege to be here. Our men out here, they out here singing, ain't it? Praise the Lord. Listen, y'all owe them an apology. Them in the corner over there, I'm telling on y'all. You owe the men an apology. What an amazing worship service. Keep playing, keep playing. I'm so thankful that you reminded that God is a redeemer. He's our champion. I don't know if you're realizing the climate that we're in. If you watch the news, you would think. You don't know what to think. A lot of us have a higher amount of anxiety now. Depression is through the roof. The people that we put our trust in seem to be failing us. The government seem to be failing us. A lot of us probably are facing immigration issues. We're facing housing issues. We're facing, well, we've been facing financial issues. We're facing racial issues. And it just seems like a daunting barrage of bad news, one after the other. But we have to be reminded that we're not here to depend on the government. We're not here to depend on the Republican Party. We're not here to depend on the Democratic Party. But we have to be mindful and remember that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. We should not trust the sweetest frame, but remember that we wholly lean on Jesus' name. So we don't care what they say. They stay lying. Because on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Because all on the ground is sinking sand. The devil wants to do is to fill us with doubt, but we have to remind him that all of the ground is sinking sand. I want to thank your pastor Bushner and Auntie JoJo for allowing me to bless the pulpit again. This is one of my favorite churches and some of my favorite people. And we're not going to be here long because the men say they cooked. Five star. I'm going to tell y'all a little secret to the fathers in here. You know, we celebrating Mother's Day. You know what mothers want for Mother's Day? We don't want no lunch. We don't. We don't want no breakfast. Take your children and just disappear. We don't care where y'all go. Just take your children and go. Don't come back till Monday. Right? For real, we brunch, none of that. Just take them kids, all of them, and go. Okay, we'll deal with it later. Okay, the baby too, take the baby. Okay, but we're just thankful. We're thankful that we have some men that recognize us. We have some men that can hold this place down. My God, some men, a Boyz II Men up here. Yes. For real. Take them on the road now, ladies. Y'all might have to clean up, so I'm just letting you know. But they were in there planning. And so I have my hats off to you guys. I'm not going to be with you long. On Monday, January 19th, 2004, an overweight, dark-skinned young woman from Chicago stepped into the auditioning room of American Idol. And even though she didn't look like the typical American Idol, she blew the judges away with her performance. This young lady made it through to Hollywood to compete for cash prizes and a record deal with RCA Records. And even though she performed about 11 songs and at one time earned the number one spot on season 3. At the end of the competition, this young lady finished in the 7th spot. She was then voted off the competition. But even though this overweight African American woman lost the competition, she went on to win in life. Because you see, she went on to land a role in Dreamgirls, where she won an Oscar for Best Supporting Actress. She also went on to win a Tony Award for a Broadway musical, 2 Grammy Awards, and a Daytime Emmy Award. She also went on to win numerous prestigious awards for acting, singing, and directing. As a matter of fact, she is the youngest woman and the only American Idol participant to win the coveted EGOT. She now hosts her own daytime television show. Even though she wasn't picked, the winner on American Idol, Jennifer Hudson, still went on to win. Message of Hope, give me a couple of minutes as I unpack this morning's message. Not picked, but still chosen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, show up for us. Father, you've used me before, and I'm asking you to use me again. There's somebody under the sound of my voice that needs to be free. And Father, you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. Use me, oh dear God, to bring an emancipation proclamation to somebody here today that is held hostage. Speak now. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we start with the scripture reading, which will be taken from Genesis 29 and 31, I just want to welcome my husband here with me. My baby's here. Wave, baby. You ain't got to stand up, but just wave so they can see you. This is my baby's here today. He drove me here. And I just want to thank him for, you know, accompanying me. You know, he want to let y'all know that I'm not by myself. So don't start no mess. Let us stand as we read God's word. Genesis 29. Genesis 29, 31 through 35. And the word of the Lord says, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. 32 says, so Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name what? Reuben, for she said, the Lord has surely looked on my affliction. Now, therefore, my husband will love me. 33, then she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. 34 says she conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore his name shall be called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Then she stopped bearing. You can please be seated. And we all know the story of Jacob. Jacob fled his homeland because he was a scammer. We all know the story of Jacob. Jacob left home because he was scamming. But when he got to where he was going, he was scammed by the master scammer, Laban. And Jacob worked 7 years for Leah, but he got scammed by Laban. Let me tell you something about genetics. If you follow the genealogy of Jacob, everybody in his family was a scammer. Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and now Jacob. And now Laban, who was their uncle, was also a scammer. And we know how the story went. Jacob saw Rachel, who was Laban's daughter, and thought she was gorgeous, so much so that the Bible says that Rachel was beautiful in form. But Rachel was not the one that Laban wanted for Jacob. You see, in the tradition times, the oldest sister had to be married first. Isn't that crazy? That somebody is going to give you away to somebody who don't want you. And have you ever been in a position where you think you can change somebody's mind about you? The Bible says that Rachel was beautiful. And I imagine Leah was not picked. And I imagine that Leah doing everything in her power to make sure that Jacob loved her. I don't know if you've ever been there where you do everything in your power to make somebody like you. But this is one of the things that I learned, that you can't change somebody's mind about you. So when they show you who they are, believe them the first time. I get a lot of men that, you know, say, Pastor Lex, you know, they come to me for counseling sometimes, and they're upset with their woman because she's big. But she always been big. You found her big. She was quite happy big. Ain't nothing wrong with what you like. But go get what you like instead of being with somebody and then tearing them down for being who they are. Stop always trying to change people. But we also have to make sure that we show up as our authentic selves. I tell my fellas all the time, stop trying to impress women by meeting them at the bookstore knowing you can't read. You done joined the book club because she in the book club. And you got the book upside down because you can't read. Ladies, stop trying to impress men by going out with these waist trainers and girdles that suck everything in. You on a date and you about passed out. Because you can't breathe. Show up as your authentic selves. Because what we learn from Leah's story is that you can do everything you can to try to change somebody's mind about you. And all you will be left with is being disappointed. And I cannot imagine being Leah in a world where the oldest got married first. The oldest got the honor. But Rachel was the one that was picked. Rachel was the one that the Bible called gorgeous. Rachel was the one that Jacob wanted. Rachel was the one who he was willing to work 7 years for. Rachel was the one he also agreed to work 14 years for. Imagine being Leah. Knowing that the darkness was your friend because it hid the fact that you were not the woman that he wanted, nor the woman that he picked. The Bible says that Jacob woke up the next morning and found out that it wasn't Rachel in his bed. I don't know if I believe that. That's just me. That's just me. Leah was in the dark, probably thankful for the dark. And I know there are so many of us who are sitting here thankful for the darkness because how we feel about ourselves. It hid the fact that we were not picked. Many of us today have been Leah. We've been told by society that we are not enough. We've been told that we are too dark, our hips too wide, we're too loud, our hair too nappy, our attitude is too much, and we should conform so that we can be picked. But I'm here to challenge those beliefs. I do declare that we should not be worried about being picked, but we should be more concerned with being chosen. We were told, so many of us, that especially women, we were told that we are defined by what we do. We are defined by what we could produce. And as I read the story of Leah, one of the lessons that I learned is that your worth is not tied to your womb. You see, in ancient Israelite society, a woman's worth was connected to how many sons that she could bear. In other words, if she could have no children, she was worthless. And so many of us have been told that our worth was tied to what we could produce. Our worth was tied to how much money we make. Our worth is tied to our job titles. Our worth is tied to how big our houses are or the letters behind our name. So many of us are sitting here. Somebody told you that if you did not become a mother, if you're not able to have children, that you're worthless. But I'm here to remind you that your worth is not tied to your womb. We live in a society that tells us if you don't have, we love to ask people what they do for a living, right? And sometimes it's not that people care. It's just that they want to know if your vocation is respectable enough. Right? We judge people based on what we think that they do. If your job is worthy of their respect. They tell me what do you do? Like my very best. And so many of us are filled with anxiety. We're filled with self-loathing. Because we're comparing ourselves to what society says that we should be doing. You go to work and they ask you what school you went to. If you don't have this degree or that degree. Right? And then here's the crazy part. And then you get to a job. And you've been there for so long. And then the boss comes and tells you, you're not qualified to become the supervisor, but they want you. You're not qualified to be the supervisor, but they want you to train your supervisor. Where they do that at? Just because you don't have what they consider important enough to be in the position. And you've been there for so many years, you could run the company. Your worth is not tied to your job. You're not defined by your vocation. Your worth is defined by the one who made you. Your worth is not dependent on what others think of you, but your worth is what God thinks of you. I have so many women that have been trying to have babies. And we make them, you know, Mother's Day. Sometimes it's hard for women. At that struggle. And God sees your struggle. And you're not any less of a woman because you cannot have children. Because you know why? Your worth is immutable. That's a big word. You could Google it. I did. In other words, your worth doesn't change. Your worth doesn't change. It doesn't matter what you do. Because you can't be worthless. A diamond that's not found is still a diamond. Just because you ain't found it doesn't mean it's not a diamond. And your worth is not defined. Your worth doesn't change because of somebody's inability to see it. It's not dictated by that. And so some of us have been thinking or talking to ourselves in the voices that somebody else spoke to us. And God is saying, you may not have been picked, but I already chose you. You're already chosen. Jesus reminds us, he says, before you were born, I knew you. He said, your parents didn't pick you, but I chose you. He reminds us, he says, I love you with an everlasting love. Yes, I knew that 4C here was going to be a pain. He said, I knew that. He said, but I picked you. Yes, your lips was them soup cooling lips. He says, but I still picked you.
Because your value is not dependent on what other people think of you. Your value comes from me. And he says, I love you with an everlasting love. He says, before the foundation of the world began, I loved you. God's love for us is immovable. The Apostle Paul himself declared, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So your value is not based on the things you have. So if it's not based on the things you have, it's also not based on the things you don't have. Your value is also not dependent on the mistakes that you made. Did you know that? You're not defined by your mistakes. And you have people that want to disrespect you and make you believe that your worth is dependent on the mistakes that you made. But it's not. So guess what, ladies? Some of us, what's your body count? It doesn't take away my value. It's not dependent on that. You're not defined by the mistakes that you made. He says, before the foundation of the world, I knew you. And I've loved you with an everlasting love. It's not dependent on the classes you failed. The jobs that you didn't get hired for doesn't take away your value. The relationships that didn't work, it's not dependent. It doesn't take away your value. I'm so tired about hearing a high value this and a high value that. And it'd be the brokest people talking about high value. My value cannot be measured because the God I serve and the God who made me told me that I was made in his image. Your value is immeasurable and your worth doesn't change because of somebody's inability to see it. I told you guys, I got a new phone. Apple. I don't know about other people and what they got, but I got Apple. This is an Apple phone, you know. Android, I don't know nothing about it. But Apple has a refurbishing system, right? If you know how you go to Apple and I try to get a discount, you know, for Black Friday to go try to get a discount, girl ain't got none. I was waiting out there. They ain't even open early. They open regular time. And I'm like, well, when's the Black Friday sale? Ain't no Black Friday. This ain't no Black Friday sale. Even sometimes you go to Apple and you know, there are glitches and something's wrong with the phone. And so they take the phone, they have a refurbishing system, and they take the phone and they take it apart and they clean it up, right? And then they put it back on the shelf. I'm like, well, let me get a refurbished phone. You know us, we love us a discount. You know, I go to the store and get an open box. My husband gets mad all the time. He was like, baby, you ain't see this thing open? Yeah, that's why I got it 50% off. The problem is it be working 50% of the time. You know, I love me a dent and scratched. I bought a washing machine. Somebody kicked it. That's 30%. Wait, if I get two dents, how much is that? How many percent is that, right? And so you go to Apple and I'm trying to get a discount and the man was like, ain't no discount. Because the way that they go in and they clean this phone, so if they return it to just like new, so much so that the value is the same. You can't pay less for it. I'm here to tell you that you were bought with a price. The Apostle Paul said, there is no such thing as cheap grace. You were bought with a price and the receipt is stamped in blood. Don't let anybody tell you that you're worth less because of the mistakes you've made or the things that happened to you. God already said that I've chosen you and you're mine so that your worth does not change. And here we see Leah being called tender-eyed, but her sister was beautiful. And I imagine Leah was doing everything in her power to gain Jacob's affection. But he still declares, I love Rachel the most. So on this Mother's Day weekend, I just want to acknowledge to some of our sisters who have lost children or couldn't have children for whatever reason. Your worth is not based on what we think about you, but it's based on what God thinks about you, and He thinks that you're to die for. The next thing I notice in the story of Leah is that how important it is to change your perspective. We see a difference in Leah's attitude by how she named her children. Leah, the unloved one. Leah, they're doing everything in her power to gain her husband's affection. And you know, it always be the women, the men that don't want that be doing the most. We've been there. She's doing everything in her power to make Jacob believe that you didn't make a mistake. And I can hear Leah's misery in the names of her first three sons. And Leah, like so many women who think children can keep a relationship together. I counsel so many couples where they have children thinking that if we just have a child, that we can hold the relationship together. If I just become a mother, it will keep him. If I make her a mother, she will stay with me. And I'm here to tell y'all that children are raggedy. They don't care about nothing but themselves. So you never bring a child into this world with a job. And the job is not a child's job to keep your relationship together, nor is it a child's job to make you happy. And we can hear Leah's anguish with each child she believes that she has, she believes will help her gain Jacob's affection. And with the first son, Reuben, she says, surely my husband will love me. And here she is trying to prove her worth through her womb. And with the second son, Simeon, she reasons that the Lord has given her a son because He heard that I am not loved. And then with the third son, Levi, she says, at last my husband will become attached to me. Listen, I would have been poisoned Jacob. Because you're not going to keep playing in my face, Jacob. You are not. And here you are, I'm having all these kids, and didn't nobody ask you nothing. And here you are talking about Rachel that I loved. I got these three kids over here for you, Jacob. And you still talking about Rachel, have you loved? And I'm here to tell you, you can do everything in your power to get someone to see you as worthy. But it's not until you change your perspective and you realize that man may look on the outside, but God looks on the inside. And I imagine as Leah realizes that Jacob will never pick her, she got more concerned with what God thinks. I believe that Leah was a diligent wife. She did everything in her power to please Jacob. It'd be the ones. That man already told you he don't want you. And here you go calling his mama on Mother's Day to see what the address is so you can send her some edible arrangements. He done told you stop calling his house. Trying to gain his affection. And now don't get me wrong. Mothers and ladies, ain't nothing wrong with doing everything in your power to please your man. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, I know the podcasters and Instagram influencers want you to believe that you ain't got to do that, but them influencers and Shade Room and all of them will influence you right out of a man. Ain't nothing wrong with taking care of a man, especially a good man. There's nothing wrong with cooking him what he likes and, you know, wearing that little dress, not the long one, the little one that he likes, anticipating his needs and doing everything in your power. power to satisfy them. So don't let social media or what we believe is the popular belief. It's not subservient to make sure that you're taking care of your husband. Husbands also need to be kept. But I have to clarify husbands and not boyfriends. We got too many women out here doing wifely duties at girlfriend prices. Boyfriends don't get the same privileges, you know, so. What prophetess Beyonce said, if you like it, that if you like it, put a ring on it. Jacob worked 14 years for Rachel. 14 years. And you going out with a dude and he talking about some, who paying for the date? Boy? Anyway, I believe that Leah did everything in to turn Jacob's heart towards her, including bearing him children, and to no avail until Leah's perspective changed. And we can see that in how Leah names her children. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until Leah developed an attitude of gratitude. According to Jewish tradition, Leah was the first person in recorded history to express gratitude towards God. And she did so when she birthed her fourth son. And she named him, and his name meant to give thanks. In other words, instead of focusing on what she didn't have, or the fact that she was not picked, or the fact that she had to share her husband, Leah declares, "This time I will praise the Lord." You see, Leah got more concerned with not being picked, but she became more focused on being chosen. Leah understood that her husband Jacob was destined to have 12 sons. They had heard about the prophecy. And so Jacob had how many wives? Y'all remember the story, how many wives Jacob had? Jacob had four wives. And so Leah did the math. She figured when she gave birth to her third son, she did her part. Any math majors in here? Everybody's like, no. You see, if he had four wives and Leah bore three of them, how many would be needed for 12? So each wife, how many children would they have to bear? Three. So Leah believed that I already did my part. I done bore the three sons. But watch this. She believed that the sons would be divided equally amongst the wives. But the God that we serve is not a God who does things logically, because he says, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts." And so God does something that makes no sense. And we know that because many of us are sitting here, and God has blessed us when we least deserve it. God has covered us when we're not even speaking to him. We serve a God who is faithful even when we're not faithful. The prophet Isaiah declares, "Great is thy faithfulness," because by morning, we got any West Indians in here? Any Caribbean folk? And y'all know Caribbean people, they something else. I think the children of Israel were West Indian. They was running Moses ragged. I believe they was all from the Caribbean. Because they, yes. Especially, first of all, milk and honey. To tell us to go somewhere, you got to be some food. And then they wanted to go back to what? The leeks? Because the wilderness ain't had no seasoning. So here, the Bible says, morning by morning. Because, you know, we don't like leftovers like that. We don't want old stale mercies. But morning by morning, he says, "New mercies I see, because great is his faithfulness." Family, God is a promise keeping God. He's a faithful God. And I would challenge you, if you change your perspective, if you change your attitude, you will realize that though you were not picked, you were already chosen. Leah named the fourth son Judah. And it's when Leah realized, my prayers have become connected to my praise. She named the fourth one saying, I'm praising God. That's what Judah means. And I imagine as Leah laid on that in the labor room, in labor and delivery, that she's singing, I love the Lord because he heard my cry and pitied every groan. I imagine Leah as she's breathing between breaths. She's saying, this time I will praise the Lord. This time I won't focus on what I don't have, but I will focus on who I am. And I will give God praise because he's been so good to me. Leah is saying, he woke me up this morning and he started me on my way. He put food on my table and he brought joy to my day. I imagine as Leah is breathing and pushing out big head Judah, she said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Leah became more concerned not with being picked, but she became more concerned with being chosen. I'm not going to be long because I smell the food that the men are heating up. I implore you to shift your perspective. I implore you to change your attitude. Stop allowing the devil to allow doubt to creep in. And if you focus on all the things that you don't have, or you focus on all the things that you're not, focus on what God is doing to you and doing for you. I had to change my prayers because I stay begging. And then I would become upset with the prayers that had not been answered, that I didn't notice all the prayers that had been answered. All the prayers that I, you know, you ever go to the grocery store and you know, I get anxiety all the time. I need a defibrillator. Groceries is so expensive. And then you buy all this food and I take out my little card and I'm over here like this with the card. And I'm looking at that card like, who put all this food in here? And I'm shaking, and the lady was, she gives me a total, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. And my poor little heart is beating fast. And I go to pay. I can't even tap it. You know, the tap is, it's too fast. I need to think. And I put it in the little, inserted, and I'm like, oh, Lord. And then it says approved. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. But you don't understand that paycheck had ran out 2 weeks ago. And the promise keeping God I had, the God of provision, kept me. He keeps providing for you. We become more concerned with all the things that we don't have. You don't see how God is covering you. Your children leave and you get mad at them because they didn't call. But God brings them back safely. We got to start taking stock of the little things that God is doing in your life. Leah was looking at all the things that she didn't have, and she didn't pay attention to how God was blessing her, because the world tells us that we have to do everything in our power to be picked. And God is saying, don't worry about being picked because I've already chosen you. And I'm closing. As we look at the story of Leah, I want you to think about how your relationship with God can shift your perspective. Think about how God is a promise-keeping God. He sees your hurt. He sees your pain. And God says that I will give you beauty for ashes. You see, the God we serve is a promise-keeping God. And the God we serve, let me tell you something. There are promises that God made through your bloodline that you don't even realize. God is going to keep his promise concerning you. Leah went on to have six sons, and as she went on with her life, we see that Leah may not have been the one that Jacob picked, but God had already chosen Leah. You see, God made a promise to Leah in Genesis 29:10. He promises that the scepter will not depart from Judah till Shiloh comes. I want you to pay attention to this. Jacob may not have picked Leah, but God thought Leah was already worthy. Because you see, we always talk about the tribes of Israel. But one of the tribe of Israel is the tribe of the Lion of where? Of where? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. In other words, is the Lion of the tribe of Leah. God thought Leah was worthy of birthing the Messiah. I don't hear nobody in this house. It wasn't Rachel, but it was the one that was not picked. It was the one that had to hide in the shadow. It was the one that nobody wanted. Christ came through Leah. And I declare to you today that the world may not have picked you, but God already chose you, and he wants to birth something divine through you. You may not have been picked, but I declare to you today that man may plan, but God orders steps. Stop being worried about what the world thinks. Their standard is different, but God already chose you. Jacob did not think that Leah was worthy, but God thought that she was worthy enough to bear the Messiah. And if it not had been for Leah, we would not have Jesus Christ. And as we close today, I know you've made some mistakes in your life. I know somebody mishandled you, and they told you that your worth may be tied to your womb. Or they told you that if you were to conform to what the world thinks or to what they think, that you would become worthy. But I don't need you to pick me because I'm already chosen. You ain't got to love me because he's already told me that I love you with an everlasting love. He said, I love you so much that there is nothing that can take me away from you. He's already chosen you. And so I declare to you today that even though you've made some mistakes in your life, the God we serve can right wrongs. The God we serve is a restoring God. The God we serve is a redeeming God. The God we serve is a promise-keeping God. And I'm so thankful that the God we serve, even though he keeps his promises, he's also a forgetful God. Because he's forgotten all the wrongs that I have done. And I'm the one that keeps remembering. You know, the devil wants to bring up stuff. You know that, right? He's called the accuser of the brethren. Because after God has already forgiven you, here he brings somebody to remind you of all the things you've done. I used to live in an apartment, right? And I guess my friend didn't get the memo that we had moved. And so one time they said that the apartment had got robbed. And then she was like, ain't you in 211? And they was like, they took, you know, all the stuff that was taken in there. Somebody, I guess whoever they, you know, robbed them and took their stuff. I was like, girl, that ain't my stuff. I don't live there no more. The devil can't shame you with old baggage. When he comes and he accuses, that's not my stuff. I no longer live there. God has already forgiven me. And he says, as far as the east is from the west. Because you know, north and south, you start north and you keep walking, you're going to hit south, right? But the east and the west, they never meet. And he says, that's how far I've thrown your iniquities. And I keep going to God about the same thing. And God be like, girl, that again? You ain't got no new sins? He said, I've already forgiven that. I've already forgiven you. I've already chosen you. I've been chose you. We're so concerned with what other people got to say. And God says, I've already chosen you. So he tells me to walk in freedom and walk liberated. Whether you have children or your inability to bear children, it doesn't take away your value. Whether you had them or lost them, it doesn't take away your value. Because God said, I've already picked you. And I chose you. And you've been mine. And as we close, there's somebody here in this place that have been struggling with being picked. I don't know, for whatever reason, you keep bringing up the old things. He said, behold, I made something new. All that old stuff, he says, I've already forgiven you. But the devil keeps coming to remind you. And God is saying, I want to set you free today. And somebody today wants to be free. You want to let that stuff go and you want to walk into the newness of life, unencumbered. If that is your wish, you stand with me so we can pray for you and with you. If that is your wish, that you say, Lord, I struggle with being picked. I struggle with being liked. I struggle with being accepted. And God is saying, don't worry about that because I already chose you. Flaws and all. And my other appeal is for somebody who has not made the decision to go with Christ all the way. And if this is your wish and you're looking for a church home and you're saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but I want to trust you today. I want you to come on up. If that is your wish, that you want to go with Jesus all the way, whether with Bible study and baptism, you come on up because God is saying, I've chosen you. Thank you, brother. Amen, brother. Anybody else? You want to say, Lord, you chose me. And now I'm choosing you. All heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, dear God, that we serve such an amazing God. A marvelous God. A big God. And oh dear God, we're asking right now that you come see about us. Father, your children are right here. Lord, we're dealing with so many problems, so many issues, oh dear Father. And I'm asking you today, Father, to forgive our sins and restore us, oh dear God. There's somebody here who has been holding on to burdens that you've already lifted. Father, there are so many of us here who are trying to pray away a mountain that faith would move. And I'm asking you, Father, to come and be an encouraging word. Father, we're asking you to show yourself strong in this place. Father, we're asking you to break every chain, oh Father, to the ones who have been manhandled and mishandled, oh dear God. Heal their hearts, Father. To the mothers right now who are dealing with so many problems and issues, I'm asking you, Father, that you answer their prayers according to your will. I pray, Lord, for those who have come up dealing with different trials and tribulations. I pray for those, Father, who are seeking truth. I pray that their search ends today. I pray for this house of prayer right now, that you continue to allow it to be a beacon of hope. Bless the inhabitants, Father. I pray, oh dear God, that you will allow us to experience freedom. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Thank you, oh dear God, for not just picking us, but for choosing us. In Jesus' name we pray.